Good morning, ladies and gentlemen,
all over the world.
Good morning. It is Monday here on Church Boy Confessions. He will direct your path.
So what's there to fear again?
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Church Boy Confessions Podcast. I'm your host, Emmanuel Heke, and it is April, right? I think the last episode we were in March, but thank God for April. Thank God for bringing us into a new month, fourth month of the year, man. Done with the first quarter of the year. That first quarter was definitely something else. I could speak for my own life. Perhaps it was the same for you. But we're still here. We're still here, and we still have purpose, and we still have God's love. You still have people in your life that love you, and I'm starting to learn more and more that's what truly matters, man. That's what truly matters. If you don't follow us on Instagram, then you wouldn't have known that this month Unassociated is taking a break. The team is taking a break, so you haven't been getting the regular content that we normally get at the regular frequency. We haven't sent out any newsletters. I mean, obviously you have this podcast, but we didn't have an episode last week. Yeah, we're not posting a lot on social media, so on and so forth. And I appreciate you all for understanding. The team really just needed a break. I think we needed time to regroup and recharge, especially after the first 3 months of this year. It was very fast paced, and we needed it. We needed the breather. And I appreciate you all for being understanding. I appreciate all of y'all support, and I appreciate your patience with this episode coming out, because this is an important episode we're going to talk about. Important topic we're going to talk about in this episode. So I do hope that you guys have been doing well. And in case you haven't, let's just say a quick prayer before we get into this episode. All right. Father God, I thank you so much for the opportunity you've given me to come behind this mic again. I thank you, Lord, for the listener. I thank you for this person that you have created in your image. I thank you, Lord, for the fruit that you are bearing in their life. I thank you for the purpose that you have given them. I thank you for the love that you have for them. I thank you that before they even finish any achievements in their life, you love them. Father, even through all the sins that they've committed in their lives, you still love them, oh God, because the blood that you shed can wipe away every stain of sin, every stain of failure. Father, we thank you for being the foundation of our identity and purpose, oh God. And we give you all the glory, and let the word that we speak today, your word that we dive into, truly be edifying for us, oh God. Let it be something that we can hold on to, and help us navigate the life that we are living today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, unless you've been living under a rock, there has been a lot of things going on in certain Christian circles, really surrounding the solar eclipse that happened. I don't even remember what day it happened, but it happened last week. And if I'm honest with you, man, I would never say that I'm embarrassed to be a Christian. I would never say that. But I will say, man, there are certain times where I think it's harder to be a Christian than other times. And it's unfortunate because I can't say it's harder to be a Christian in this time because of genuine persecution, because you got Christians out here standing on the word of God and standing on Christ. The reason why it's a little harder to be a Christian, or it was a little harder to be a Christian this past week, was because of a solar eclipse. And that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. So today we're going to talk about end time conspiracy theorists. We're going to talk about false teachers. We're going to talk about false prophets. Not the first time we've talked about false prophets, but it probably is the first time we've really dove deeper into a conversation about end time conspiracy theorists and their conspiracies. Just kind of straightforward. I think that it's a real big problem amongst our, you know, Christian communities. And I think that, you know, of course, we have to talk about the integrity of Christian content creators, Christian influencers, pastors, prophets. But we also have to take accountability in ourselves for our lack of biblical literacy. We have to take accountability for ourselves and understand that a lot of the state that we find ourselves in as a Christian community today, a lot of it has to do with our own shortcomings. It's not because there's anything wrong with the word of God, but it's because of our lack of understanding and interpretation of the word of God. You know, And it played like if you were wondering why it's important to open your Bible and read it regularly, this past week, I think, should have given you that answer. All right. But there's a lot of craze, especially on TikTok around the solar eclipse. You know, there are people calling out predictions about what's supposed to happen and when Jesus is coming back and when rapture is taking place on and so forth. And if I'm honest with you, I think that I was just really disappointed more than anything. It was really sad to see under some videos that somebody can be saying that Jesus is coming because of the eclipse and is fulfilling some type of biblical prophecy. And then you have people in the comments talking about, oh, my gosh, my, you know, Jesus coming back. I repent, Lord. It's sad. There are big problems with a lot of these end time controversies. Of course, they're falsehood. Many of them are anti-biblical just through and through. They're very fear-mongering, which I do believe is a problem, and I'll break that down more in this episode. And it's really just clickbait. It's there for clout, all right? And it's important for us to understand that there are some things that we can't escape, especially in this day and age. You will, if you haven't already, come in contact with a false teacher. You will come in contact with a false prophet. You will come in contact with an end time conspiracy theorist, especially in the age of information, in the age of the internet. We are exposed to a lot of different ideas, a lot of different doctrines, a lot of different scholarship, a lot of different perspectives and interpretations on the Word of God, which is why I believe it is now more important than ever for us to have biblical literacy. It's important for us to understand what the Word of God is saying. You might not think it's important to do it every day. You might not think, you might say you're too tired. You might say, oh, you know, I have other things, you prioritize other things, but I'm trying to tell you, man, something has to give. Something has to give. I'm going to go to this video. It is a response to one of those end time conspiracy theorists. And this video is by a TikTok creator named Josh Benson. He's pretty popular on TikTok. He's a Christian creator. And he actually, you know, a lot of his content is holding, you know, certain Christian content creators or pastors accountable. You know, I know that that content might not be everybody's style, but I do think he did a really good job of calling out this content creator. So just listen to this video. Previous content creator was talking about solar eclipse and it being some type of end time prophecy, and Josh kind of did a really good response to it. So just check this out.
This solar eclipse happening next month could fulfill a 2,000-year-old Bible prophecy.
I am so over the thumbnail clickbait Christians on social media that provide zero value to the Christian community. I am convinced that Nick has a new end times prophecy or just video where he twists scripture around like once a week. And he's already blocked me on everything, so I'm convinced that he doesn't want to have any discourse about how misleading he's being. And as a Christian, these videos are so frustrating because they make us look like the people on Parks and Rec that followed Zorp the Lizard God. I don't know if Nick is doing this on purpose, but look at how blatantly untrue like all of this is.
The shocking part is this eclipse is going to be passing through 8 towns called Nineveh.
That's not true. It's going to hit 2 Ninevehs, one in Indiana, one in Ohio. That's it.
This will also be taking place under the constellation Cetus.
That's not true either. Cetus is visible in the northern hemisphere between like September and January.
Jesus says in Matthew 16:4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.
In that verse, Jesus was literally just comparing his death to Jonah's situation. Jonah was in the well for 3 days. Jesus will be in the tomb for 3 days. That's it. It has nothing to do with future prophecies. Now, I know I rag on Nick a lot because I think he just does this so he can get clicks and do numbers on social media, but it's not just him.
Several towns and cities named Nineveh.
Nineveh, Texas. Nineveh, Missouri. Nineveh, Indiana. Nineveh,
all towns and cities named Nineveh.
What are we doing? What are we trying to accomplish? Is there any purpose in these videos other than to get views?
Yeah, I love that video. I reposted that video immediately because it needed to be reposted. I think that something that's very important for us believers to understand, especially people who are coming new to the faith, is that not every Christian is the same. And Christianity is kind of has its own segments. And this is just kind of like pure societal anecdotal observation in that, you know, you have certain segments of people who call themselves Christians and, you know, they have their own ideas and they have their own beliefs. And sure, they'll profess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but that doesn't mean that everything that they do and their occupation all align with scripture, right? And I think that end time conspiracy theorists are a segment of, you know, our Christian faith. This is a Christian community that really enjoys to come up with these ideas, come up and try to guess when Jesus is coming back, try to, you know, interpret a different solar eclipse or some type of cosmic occurrence to be something biblical. They want to predict when rapture is going to happen. They try to uncover some type of secret codes in the Bible. They get a rise out of this. And then there are also people who consume the content because it's very entertaining. And hey, listen, I'm not going to act like I've never been that person who followed an Instagram account or two, because it's a little entertaining. You can get hooked, you know, can go down rabbit holes, because that's what conspiracies do. Not just end time, you know, conspiracies, but, you know, conspiracies about the government, conspiracies about the CIA, whatever it might be, right? But there are a lot of reasons why these end time conspiracies are an issue. So I'm going to go over some reasons as to why they're issues, all right? I think first and foremost, they're false and they're baseless. And the real good ones are the ones that have like a sliver of truth, and they use that as a launch pad in every, to go in every direction and come up with some type of like thing that at least hooks you enough to make you think like, what if this is actually the case, right? And I think that there's also part of us that just so much don't want to be tricked or don't want to be taken as a fool. So then we kind of entertain the idea that there's such thing as, you know, this secret society, or there's such thing as this thing that's going on that other people don't know about or the government knows about and they don't want people to know about. Like, you know, there's a part of us that rather just say, hey, everything is real, and just be wrong, as opposed to saying everything is fake and kind of be a fool, right? But nevertheless, you know, There are these content creators, they're making these ideas, they're false, and they're quite baseless, and a lot of times they're just flat out anti-biblical. They're so false and they're so baseless to the point where I would even have to ask if these content creators that are making this content actually believe the things that they are saying, because I don't think that they do. And it's very important that we understand that just because someone calls themselves a Christian content creator does not mean that they are in the business of advancing the kingdom. And we have to understand that there are other incentives to being a content creator. There are other incentives to being a Christian leader, a pastor, even a podcaster. I'll put, you know, my own in that as well. There are other incentives. And I think that we'd be naive to not consider the fact that there are people out there that are making all these end time conspiracies for clout and for clicks and for likes, just like Josh was explaining. And that's just the reality of it. And it's entertaining to a lot of folks, right? But I think a really good thing for us to keep in mind is that, and it kind of goes into the second point, when we are listening to Christian content, ask yourself, is it edifying? Is there any virtue in it? Because I think a good way to note when like somebody is just really one of those kind of like conspiracy theorists is that their entire catalog, whether it's their YouTube channel, whether it is their TikTok page, whatever it might be, is devoted to all these conspiracies and all these wacky ideas. And they never actually talk about, or very rarely talk about, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Which is honestly what really matters. If I'm being honest with you, you know, I'll see the videos and it's like, I don't care if they found Noah's Ark or not. I don't care. And if I'm honest with you, I don't really care if they found Sodom and Gomorrah or not. Shout out to the people who are finding these things. You know what I'm saying? I haven't really looked into it. Every time I see it, I take it with a grain of salt and I say, oh, maybe I'll look into it later. But if I'm honest with you, I don't care. You know why? Because my salvation and your salvation is not reliant on them uncovering some archaeological discovery. It's really cool and it's interesting, but at the end of the day, that's all it is. Because what's most important is that we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not that we try to tell people about Noah's Ark. And I understand some people will say, oh, but that can link to so on and so forth. If you say so. If you say so. But I don't really care about that stuff. What I care about, and I think what we should care about, are the things that edify us. All right? And I don't think I see that in a lot of these conspiracy theories. I think that it's really just trying to feed some Christian sensationalism because maybe they think things are too boring. I don't know. But let's talk about rapture for a second here, because I think that it's important that we have at least a basic understanding of what rapture is. All right. A key verse that we as Christians believe speak to rapture is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. And in this passage, Apostle Paul is writing this letter to a congregation in a Greco-Roman city called Thessalonica. And really, this chapter is an encouragement, and he's encouraging them, hey, turn away from sin, sexual immorality, things like that. Make sure you're loving one another. And he also wants to add a nugget in there, just talking about them to be rest assured that God has a plan even for those believers who have already passed away, right? So that's why he brings up the conversation of rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17 says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." That's about as far as it goes. There's rapture in scripture. Rapture, when we talk about rapture, in a very broad sense, we're talking about the believers on earth and the believers who have passed away being transported to be with Jesus forever. That's rapture. Now, we can go into more detail. People have different ideas on when it's supposed to happen. And obviously, as you've seen, there are people who want to calculate when it's going to happen. But something that's very clear in scripture is that we are talking about the transportation of God's children, us believers, to be with Jesus forever. So really, the most important thing that you need to know about rapture is not when it's going to happen. It's not when it's going to happen. It's to make sure that you have a sincere relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why this podcast exists. And honestly, that should be the goal of anybody that calls himself a Christian content creator, anybody that calls himself a pastor, that calls himself a prophet, whatever it might be. It's about pointing you to Jesus Christ, because it's not about making you scared about when rapture is going to happen or making you scared about if you're going to go to hell. It's about pointing you to Jesus Christ, because if you have Jesus Christ, there is no fear. There is no issue. There is nothing that you have to be worried about or concerned about. But it's unfortunate, because I see when people get so caught up in all these end time controversies, so caught up that they're just scared. They're scared that, oh, I'm not a real Christian. They're scared that, oh, God doesn't love me, and so on and so forth. I mean, that is the real concern, because I think if you're a believer, you should be confident in your salvation, to where it's like, if you were to die today, you're good. Do understand, you might not see rapture. Tomorrow is not even promised. Maybe if something's going to scare you, let that scare you. Tomorrow is not even promised. So hearing about rapture shouldn't even be a real difference. It shouldn't even change the course of how you're living your life, because you should already be living your life like tomorrow you can be taken home. Let's keep it going. Another reason why I think the end time controversies is so bad is because it's fear mongering. It's really what it is, especially when there's nothing edifying about it. Like, granted, there are a lot of non-believers who will hear any time that a Christian mentions hell, any time that a Christian mentions that there is some day of reckoning, day of the Lord, day of judgment that is coming, they think that it's fear mongering. And you have to understand, the reason why they perceive it to be fear mongering is because they don't believe in hell. They don't believe in the things that we are saying. They think that it's fake, right? So because they think it's fake, they think that it's fear mongering. But if it's real, it's not fear mongering. It's just all a fair warning, right? Which is what it is, because it is real. And it's a fair warning, right? So I say fear mongering really pertaining to these end time controversies, or even these, you know, very hysterical and loud, charismatic false prophets as well. You know, that will talk about hellfire and judgments coming here and judgments coming there. And it's like, you know, they don't even have any instruction. They don't even have any, you know, follow up. There's no, you know, instruction. There's no call to know Jesus Christ. They're not spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just damnation is coming. America's going to crumble. It's fear mongering. And the issue I have with fear mongering is because essentially you are trying to use fear in order to call someone to Christ. But I think that's a bit, I think that that's counterproductive. And the reason why I call it counterproductive, I'm going to use 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 to 18, right? And what it says is that love has been perfected among us in this, among us Christians, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been perfect in love. What does that mean? You probably have heard the saying that perfect love casts out fear. It says, it explains what it means there in the passage. It means that because we know that God loves us and we love God, that right there should give us the boldness to stand before God on the day of judgment. If you are scared to go to hell, that is indicative that you have not truly understood the love of God, and you have truly not received his love and accepted his love in your life. The foundation of our relationship with the Lord is not meant to be fear of hell. The foundation of our relationship with the Lord is meant to be love. Look at the ministry of Jesus Christ. That was the driving force of Jesus' ministry, was love, and it was not fear. And the reason why I can say that is, yes, he mentioned hell. Yes, he mentioned damnation. He mentioned accountability, the day of judgment. Yes, he mentioned all of those things. But what was the biggest demonstration he made to show the world he's the Son of God? The biggest demonstration he made as a man and God on earth, it was dying on the cross. Dying on the cross. And he died on the cross and he rose again. Why? Because of his love. Romans 5:8. He demonstrated his love to us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died. That was his big demonstration. It was love, because love is the foundation of our relationship with Christ. It is not fear. Notice how he demonstrated his love with his suffering and his sacrifice. He did not just showcase all of his power and showed visions of hell so that everybody can come and have a genuine loving relationship with him. That wasn't the tactic. That wasn't the move. So why should that be our tactic? Why should that be our move? It's unfortunate. There are even, I know believers who said that they didn't learn about the grace of God until they were like in their 20s. Because they went to a church where everything was about hellfire, hellfire, hellfire. What are you talking about? Like, Brett, why can't we just take an example, take a page out of the Bible, take a page out of Jesus' ministry? Yes, he could talk about hell, but that wasn't the crux of his ministry. It was about love. It was about, of course, truth. We're not abandoning truth, but you got to be able. Jesus demonstrated his love, and he wants us to tell people about what he's done for us, because he wants people to know that he loves them. That is the foundation of that relationship. But why is that not what we're showcasing? Why is that not the main thing we're talking about? Instead, we're talking about Jesus is coming because of a solar eclipse, and if you don't repent now, you're going to go to hell. Is that supposed to make someone want a genuine relationship, or is that supposed to make someone want a relationship just so they can escape hell? Those are two very different things. Another reason why I think these end time controversies, sorry, I don't like saying controversy. These end time conspiracies are an issue is because it hinders our effectiveness to evangelize. That's what I think it is. And I'll let this guy that I found on TikTok say it. His name is Casanova Brown. He's pretty popular on TikTok, and you know, he had his opinions, right? You know, I can't say I agree with it fully, but can't say I disagree. Go ahead, check this out.
Now that the rapture has come and gone, the apocalypse is over, and you're still here, what now? I haven't seen nary a demon. No portals, no aliens, no horns. The earth did not crack open. Nobody floated to the air. What happens now? You know what I say happens now? We take you to that big old padded room. We take you to that other floor. We get you some nice grippy socks. I'm thinking a steady dose of medication, because a lot of y'all are kind of off your rocker. But ain't it kind of crazy how you can get away with being crazy just as long as you like throw a little religious razzle dazzle up in there? Just say, oh my God, I'm hearing voices. Angel voices. I'm seeing things. But God showed it to me. Like, you could just throw it in there. You could say really anything. And people have no choice but to believe you. That is insane. Y'all are insane. I'm here crying, talking about massacres. And if we see demons. Oh, bring. Y'all always talking about mental health. No. Y'all are not in touch with it's enough going on here. I really believe it's enough going on. Y'all don't need to make stuff up.
You know, it's sad when I look at someone critique Christianity. Granted, they use vast generalizations, and I don't like that. And granted, I might not agree with everything that they're saying, but then at the same time, if I'm going to be honest with myself, I have to admit that there is some validity to the accusations, and there's some validity to the concerns, because some people make public this, you know, over the top, baseless expressions of their faith that I think are just misguided, and can very much look like they're out of touch with reality. And I might actually say that they're out of touch with reality because they're out of touch with scripture. You know? So, I mean, they might as well be out of touch with reality. You know, there's something he has said where it's like people are allowed to act crazy, but they say, you know, it's okay and it's accepted under the guise of religion. Granted, I guess I could speak for myself. I do think that for the most part, at least in the Christian circles that I've been in, you can tell the difference between someone who is genuinely telling you something from the Lord and someone who's just yapping, or someone who has genuinely had an encounter with the Lord and someone's just yapping. Granted, we got to test all the spirits and stuff like that, but that might not be something that's super discernible to everyone, right? I was looking at this video, and in the comments, I started to see people talk about something called spiritual psychosis. And I guess this is a term that's a lot of people are using now, which essentially is just saying that, you know, explaining how people, religious people, are out of touch with reality, so on and so forth. And I will say this, I take it with a grain of salt, just because there are, you know, non-believers are always going to believe that we are out of touch with reality. If you are someone who perceives reality to be limited to the natural world around you, everything that someone who believes in the supernatural is going to look like they're out of touch with reality. So take that with a grain of salt. But like I said, I think that there's some validity there. And I think that we have to be honest, and we have to be, you hold people accountable. I think that there are people that act out in the church. There are people who say that this is what God told me, and that's not what God told you. You know, a great way, like I said, to discern whether that's from God or not is, of course, to know his word, because he's not going to go against his word. But then it's also about praying, being prayerful. You know, I think that you have to understand that there are some people, and this might sound crazy, that just straight up lie. They lie. They didn't see anything in you. They didn't receive anything from God. And they're in touch with reality, but they just lie. And it's weird, because I feel like maybe like there are some Christians that think Christianity is boring secretly. So like they have to like spice it up for themselves, right? Like they have to teach you about demonology and Lilith and, You know, they have to uncover these Bible secrets that no one really knows about. You add this number, that number, and this place. And it's just like, well, it's just like, is there some, like, I guess just regular Christianity is just boring. It's boring to them. I think about it, like, maybe you receiving Christ, the Holy Spirit coming into your heart, transforming you, you bearing the fruits of the Spirit, maybe it's just boring. Like, there's just more that they need in order to be entertained. And I think that's unfortunate. And it means trouble for us. And I think we just got to lock in. We got to know our word. And I'm saying all this about knowing our word, saying the word of God. Rest assured, by the end of this episode, I'm going to give you some resources that can help you in that journey. All right. Like I said before, just because someone calls themselves a Christian influencer does not mean that they are trying to advance the kingdom with their content. Same way, just because someone calls himself a pastor or an evangelist or an apostle does not mean that they're out here actually doing the work of the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that they're actually called. Just because someone is a self-professing prophet does not mean that they're actual prophet. Read your scripture. You'll see. There have been false teachers and false prophets forever, bro. Like, go back to Old Testament days. I mean, you got Paul pulling his hair out because of all these false teachers in the church. I mean, they're there. They are there. And we need guidance. And the word of God is that guidance. Look at this video I got from Jackie Hill Perry. She breaks it down really well.
If you say God says something, like, my ears is close. Because in my mind, he's the Lord of hosts, the Lord of glory. I want to know what he's saying. So when they say it, like, I hear God say it, I'd be like, oh, what'd he say? And they'd be like, you know, God is saying that your debt gonna be paid off. Oh, okay. Did he add an addendum to that, that you just need to steward your money right? Or we need to bring Dave Ramsey in here or something? Or he just said that, is that for everybody? Is that just for a few? It just... Or God said, you know, that you're not going to suffer for long. Oh, okay. You really could have quoted a scripture for that. Like, I don't even think you had to paraphrase what you thought. Because at some point, we're lying. At some point, we have to call it what it, we're lying.
One more thing. Because the amount of deceit that's happening in these social media local church streets in the American church has me bothered. And I'm like, I'm going to have to start pushing back more. Because anyway, if a sermon, a 45-minute sermon, if the pastor or the communicator's opinions, clever ideas, anecdotes, observation, if that makes up the majority of the sermon and not God's word, then that already tells me that I'm listening to somebody who wants to establish their authority more than Christ's authority. And so when you have the audacity to then say, God said, I don't care what you're saying God said, because you didn't even appeal to his word. Like, his word isn't even the basis of this entire message. So that tells me that's how you live your life. I don't want it. Last thing for real. Some of what has made us susceptible to all this foolishness is that we need to re-engage with the fundamentals and the basics of the faith. These are fundamental things, such as, what does it mean that scripture is God-breathed? What does it mean that scripture has authority? What is the canon and why is the canon closed? What is the place of prophecy in the New Testament, or not New Testament, but what is the place of prophecy now in the church today, in the local church? What does Paul mean in Hebrews 1 when he said that back in the day, God spoke to us in many ways through the prophets, but now he has spoken to us finally in his son? What does it mean to not quench the spirit, to not despise prophecy, but to test everything? How do we test everything? Like these are really basic questions that I think if we get these down deep into our consciousness, we'll be on guard from craziness.
People be lying. People lie. And Auntie Jackie hit it on the nail. People be lying. And You know, I agree with her in that we have to revisit the fundamentals. A lot of us don't know the fundamentals. And I think that if we're going to revisit the fundamentals, the Word of God is our guide. That's really what it is. We got to go to the Word of God. Do understand that there has always been a concern about believers being deceived by different doctrine. Ephesians chapter 4, which I read on this episode every two episodes because I just can't get enough of it. In this passage, Apostle Paul is talking to a church in Ephesus, and his point that he's trying to make is the purpose, the importance of the church. And there's a reason why God has given certain offices within the church in order to help, you know, the collective community. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 11, says, "And he himself gave some," talking about God, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints in the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Look at verse 14. "That we should no longer be children." I think that speaks to naivety, because a lot of us are naive. "So we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in him who is the head, Christ." So we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried away by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Listen, there is false doctrine out there. There is trickery out there. There are people who are cunning and crafty and want to deceive you. They're more crafty than you. They're more cunning than you. Their goal is to deceive you. This is the reality of it. But to combat that, we need education. We need knowledge on the Word of Christ, right? On the Word of God. We need church, a good church. We need community. That's what we need. There's no way that I can sit on this podcast and refute every false doctrine and every idea that goes against our Christian values or our Christian interpretations, our hermeneutics, our exegesis, whatever it might be. I can't. You know? But I think that my goal is really to do my best to equip you and myself with the tools when we have questions to find it out. That's the goal. But before we, last thing I will say before I get to some of the resources for reading your word, I don't want to end this show with you thinking that, oh man, you know, let me shut up next time God tells me to share something. I don't want you to do that. That's not the point of this episode. But I do think that even for us, when God has given us something to share with other people, we have to understand that we can't just go out and just start talking. If you go out and just start talking and start saying a whole bunch of baseless things without any real order or structure, or you're really hard to understand, or we just don't know how to respond, then you might as well have just kept silent. We all would probably be better off if you just kept silent. I saw this video and I saw a lot of people responding to it. There was a girl and she was a bit hysterical. And she said that God was telling her that something terrible is about to happen. And, you know, I saw a lot of different, you know, responses, but I like this response from this content creator. So check out this video. It is a response to this woman who was saying that God was telling her all these different things about some terrible things are going to happen. So check out this video from this creator. I think her ad is Skin Healer. So here you go.
I cry. We don't have time no more. We don't have time. If you live in the city of Dallas, Texas,
it's a lot of things that we could play about on this clock app, but God is not one of them. And I would say if y'all didn't see the original video, go back and watch, but it's not even worth watching for real.
Now, I don't know what the original creator's intentions were getting on this internet fear-mongering people, but I want y'all to understand God will never give you a message to deliver to his people in that manner. This is why so many people look at us Christians as a joke, because people get on the internet and play like that. And like I said, she may not be playing. There may be something that God did tell her, but he never told her to get on the internet and tell us like that. Then as you look in the comments where people are saying, what does this mean? What does this mean? She's not saying anything. She's just saying to pray. Anytime God gives you a message to deliver to someone else or to deliver to a body of people, you need to be the one to sit down and pray and ask God to tell you how you need to deliver it, because people are not going to look at that video and do anything but laugh. Y'all need to stop letting the devil use y'all to make a mockery of God. And that's all I'm going to say.
I really appreciate this creator's approach to responding. I think that there was a lot of grace, which I appreciated. And I think she hit it on the money, where we have to hold ourselves accountable and make sure that, yes, God, maybe God did tell you something, or maybe he didn't, right? And you got to be accountable for that. But maybe he did tell you something. But you have to understand that the next step, when God puts something on your heart, first of all, pray. Pray and ask God, is this something for me? Or is this something I need to share? Even aside from, you know, this video that we had just talked about, there are content creators that'll go up on, you know, TikTok and they're, you know, telling you that this is a sin and that's a sin. And it's just like, no, that's not a sin. And it's like, maybe God told you to stop doing that because you needed to stop doing that. But that's not a sin. You know, it's not. And it's like, it's not like I'm hating. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not hating. I'm not being like I love sin or anything like that, or I can't deny the flesh. But it's just like, that's not biblical. And I'm not saying, not say that's not biblical because it goes against the Bible, but it's not biblical as in you can't root it in scripture. So maybe it's not something that was for everyone. Maybe it's just something that's for you, and you should have taken the step to ask God, is this for me? Is this something that I should share? And if it's something that you should share, continue to be prayerful and ask God to instruct you on how to share it, because that's very important. And before you share, before you press record, all right, don't be too hasty. But I want to make sure that whoever is talking to me about what God is saying has fundamental understanding of scripture. So found what you were about to tell me in scripture, principles and tenets that are supported by scripture. Pray. And found it in scripture. And the last thing I'm going to say is be organized. Be organized. Be organized and clear. Because if you're not organized and clear, you might as well not even talk. Truthfully. I say this with love. If you're not organized and clear, you're all over the place. You might as well not even talk. If you look at the prophets in the Old Testament, you look at Isaiah, you look at Jeremiah, you can look at Ezekiel. There's structure to what they're saying, right? Like maybe not chronologically all the time, but like in the grand scheme of things, you have it to where, hey, Israel, God is about to judge you. These are the reasons why. These are the sins that you've committed. And you need to repent. That call to action, that instruction, right? It's also accompanied with hope that God is going to restore you after judgment, given the context. But there's structure and there's instruction. It's not just damnation is coming. Judgment is coming. All right. See you in the next, like for part two. It is instruction. You know, because God, we don't serve a vain God. There's a purpose to why he shows us things and reveals us things. And I would say that most of the time when God reveals to us something, it's because he wants us to do something about it. Instruction. All right. At the end of the day, everything that I say means nothing according to what the Spirit is putting on your heart. The most important thing here is that you pray. If you need to fast, fast, and make sure that what you do next is in alignment with the Word of God. And I'm not saying that that means everybody is going to respond well to it. They did not respond well to Isaiah. They did not respond well to Jeremiah. They did not respond well to many of the prophets. All right. But what I am saying is that I want you, and I want myself also as a believer, as brothers and sisters of Christ, I want us to be rest assured in knowing that that was from God. Whether people receive it or not, it's not really our business. But that was from God. And I delivered it the way he wanted me to. I do it even with this podcast. I'm not a prophet, right? But before I start every episode, I'm asking God, Father, I make this prayer. Let me say nothing more or less than what you want me to say. Put your words in my mouth. I'm not a prophet, but I pray that so that I am acknowledging that I cannot communicate God's word perfectly on my own accord. I can't. And I need his assistance in everything. I need his assistance to teach. I need his assistance to articulate and all that. So we need to inquire with that. All right. So like I said, the moral of the story here, the big takeaway here is that you need to get in your Bible. You need to start understanding the word of God, how it pertains to you and how you live your life, but also fundamental Christian doctrine. So we're going to go over some resources that can help you read the Bible, because I empathize with the fact that some of us, we're not reading the Bible because we don't know how, we don't know where to start. And when we do start, we don't know what's going on. And it's just like, it's a big book. There's a lot of books in the book, right? And not all the books are in chronological order. That's a note, right? Like for example, the book of Esther, let me not question nothing. I'm just saying, like, I don't know why the book of Esther is there. I don't know why Ezra is there either. I don't know. I feel like it should, you know, be arranged later, but I wasn't in the canonization process, but nevertheless, here are some things that I use personally. All right. That helped me with reading my Bible and, understanding what the heck is going on. First and foremost, I do want to say, shameless plug to my seminary school. Now, granted, they're not, you know, giving me any money for anything like this. So I'm really just saying this because I think it's helpful. And I haven't done this myself, but I would love for you to explore it. There are free online courses that my seminary school offers. All right. So I'm going to put the link to that in the description. Free online courses at Dallas Theological Seminary. All right. Check it out. Okay. You know. Also, whenever you have questions, a place that I like to go to ask questions, because you have to have some key websites, because sometimes you can enter a question. It doesn't mean that you're going to get a Christian answer. You might get an answer from some very upset atheist that is very active on Medium, if you know what Medium is. So I like to go to gotquestions.org. That's a great resource. And I think they give you pretty clear, well-organized answers. It's a wide range of information that is on that website, and it really helps me in my personal classes and academic journey. So also blueletterbible.org, if you want to, because a lot of people, you know, when you spread the word or when you evangelize or when you're understanding the Bible, sometimes you like to put a lot of emphasis on specific words. And that's a little dangerous because the Bible wasn't originally written in English. So you have to understand that there can be some loose discrepancy between what was said in the Greek or the Hebrew and what is translated to in English. So don't put so much weight on specific English words. Or if you are going to, first, please go to blueletterbible.org. Type in the verse that you are looking at. And what it's going to do is when you press tools, it'll show you all of the Greek or Hebrew words that are used in the manuscripts, in the original manuscripts, or at least, you know, the most latest manuscripts that we can find. So, and then take that and then make the point that you want to make. Okay, so it's a lot safer that way. Still not foolproof, but a lot safer that way. Also, BibleRef.com has some commentary on different verses. So if you just type in, what's the meaning of this verse? BibleRef.com, I like to go to it. And it gives you commentary. It doesn't have commentary for every single verse, but some. I also have, I didn't mean to say this one, but I have the New King James Version. John McCarthy study Bible. And study Bibles are great because they give you commentary on each verse, almost each verse. So it gives you some further explanation, more in layman terms of what is going on in the Bible as well. All right. Now, some strategies that you can use when you're reading the Bible. I really have two big strategies that have helped me. I read my Bible every day. I read my Bible. I try to read my Bible twice a day, but especially in the morning, it's not even a challenge for me. It's a very regular part of my routine to read the Word of God. And I think one thing that has really helped me in reading the Word of God regularly is journaling. Journaling. I do not know if you have a journal. I don't know if you journal already. But the power in journaling is starting off your devotion time with the Lord and your Bible reading with the Lord with self-reflection. Because a really good way to understand what a relationship with the Lord means and looks like in your life is to start with what's going on in your life, how do you feel, and what does the Bible have to say, or how does the Bible speak to the current circumstances you find yourself in today? Now, be careful. There are some people who take this to the extreme, and now they start to take Bible passages out of context, so they force it into, you know, a box, which is their life, and they, you know, mess up the interpretation. No, don't do that. What I am saying is, for example, I can start with, you know, I'm going to reflect with myself. I'm going to journal. How do I feel? Well, I feel very fearful. Why do I feel fearful? Well, ultimately, I'm fearful because there's this thing that I want, but, you know, I don't believe that God is actually going to do it for me. So maybe I should look up verses that talk about the fact that God is sovereign and that he holds all the power. And I should look at verses that talk about God's love, right? And I can just Google those things, God's love. And then, you know, I can look at those verses that pop up and I'm reminded that God loves me. I'm reminded that God is in control. And then that gives me comfort. And now, not only did you read verses, and granted, I think you should read passages in context, read the verses in context, understand the background of these verses, so on and so forth. You've now read the word, but you've also read it in a way that you understand how it is applicable and how it reveals something about God that's relevant to your existence. That is my bread and butter. Okay. And the other thing that I would say, other strategy, is take notes in church. A lot of people don't take notes in church. I'll put my church in there as well. A lot of people don't take notes in church. It's a problem. Take notes in church. Just open it up and take notes and write stuff down and then go over it over the week. Go over it. Reread the passages that your pastor was teaching you. And you might find out maybe he didn't do a good job. No shade or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, you know, listen to what your pastor is saying and then go fact check him. Go fact check him. He's giving you a framework. He's giving you this topical message or expository message. You know, he's saying that, hey, you should be encouraged because of A, B, C, and here are the verses. Then go and reread that. Go and study that further. Go more in depth. So I hope the resources and strategies I shared could be helpful. I do hope that you take it seriously and that you implement it into your devotion time with the Lord. I do think that these can really be helpful to increase your biblical literacy. And like I said, it's very important. And I think it's more important now more than ever that we as believers be biblically literate, because a lot of information, there's a lot of false information and conspiracies and false prophets that are out here running amok. And if you do not know where the Word of God, if you not have a fundamental knowledge on the scriptures, if you do not open your Bible, my friend, then it's a problem. You're in trouble and you're vulnerable. And I don't say that to scare you. I say that to encourage you, because you have access. Most of the people who listen to this podcast are in America. You have nothing but access to these things. And it's irresponsible to not take advantage of them. We have to be real. We're adults. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this word. Father, we see what's going on in the world. It's terrible. It's not going to get better. I don't think it will. Father, we can't keep up with all the different new false doctrines and false ideas and false prophets that drop every other week. we can't keep up with all of the content of false doctrine that we're going to see on TikTok and Instagram and maybe even in our church, Father God. But I just pray that you help us, Lord, and equip us with the tools that we need, with the mind that we need, with the commitment that we need, commitment to knowing your word and to knowing you personally, in order to navigate, to overcome all of these false doctrines, these trickeries of men, the cunning, craftiness, the deceitful plotting. Oh God, help us overcome it. Father, help us to not be led astray. But help us, Father God, even when we find something, hear something false, Lord Jesus, or no matter who it's from, help us, Lord, to always verify in your word, oh God. Help us to have an understanding of your word, oh God. Help us to not just make up interpretations because we like the way it feels to us, but to actually find out what your word is saying within its context, and to not try to, you know, steal and copy paste it into something that just doesn't make any sense, but rather just learn about you through the encounters you have already had that are well documented in your word, to learn about you and your love and your characteristics, oh God. Help us, Father God, to take you seriously in that. And I pray, Lord, that as we commit ourselves to reading your word, as we commit ourselves to going deep in our relationship with you, Father, we acknowledge that we are going to have to battle against the flesh and the devil and the world around us, oh God. And I just pray that you help us and you preserve us. Father, there are many of us that have been reading our Bible. We try to read our Bible and it's hard, you know, and we start a streak and then we end the streak. But Father God, I pray that you help us, Lord, to continue to have hope, to get back up, to accept your grace because you give us grace and we thank you for your grace, and to get back at it, Lord, and help us to get better at it, to get more frequent with it, Lord Jesus. Help us to start reading your word and having that meditation on your word day and night. Help us to just put you first and prioritize you first, oh God. And I pray for everyone who might have already been deceived, or just even the non-believers that see this stuff and they're like, oh, spiritual psychosis, or oh, they're crazy over there. I just pray, Lord, that you reveal yourself to us as individuals, that you call us, Father, because church, we're not doing everything well. That's just the reality of it. So I just pray that you make up for our shortcomings, that you also help us to hold ourselves accountable as well, Lord Jesus. Call people to yourself, oh God. Help us to do what you want us to do. Enable us, purify us. But we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Love you guys. Like I said, you know, we're keeping it chill this month. Let's say like that. So there's not going to be an episode next week. There'll be an episode the week after that, which is what day, Daddy-o? That is May 6th. So yeah, I really appreciate you guys for understanding. I appreciate y'all for tuning in once again to this episode. So I love you guys. Hope you guys have a great remainder of the month. You know, shout me. I said shout me. That's funny. Tap in with me if you need anything. My Instagram DMs, Eheke_. Love y'all. Peace.